ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
immediately upon the appearance of Lord Brahmadeva. Bali Maharaj regularly maintained devotion for the Lord, and because he was purified, the Lord appeared before him. Because of unalloyed love for the Lord, he then immediately decided, I shall give this little dwarf Brahma whatever he asks from me. This is a sign of love. Thus, Bali Maharaj is understood to be one who received the highest perfection of devotional service by special mercy.
Om Gyana Chivananda, Gyananjana Shlakira, Chakshan Lilitam Yena, Tasmai Sri Gurudeva Namaha, Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda Kanda, Sri Advaita Gadadhara, Sri Vasudeva Gaura Bhakta Vrinda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, This verse gives us the deep feeling of someone with honor. First of all, Bali Maharaj is calling attention to his family line. I am the grandson of Maharaj Prahlad. In other words, what about my family tradition? Bali Maharaj is quoting his family tradition for the second time. The first time, if you remember, was when Vamanadeva first appeared at the Yajna Arena, and he appeared like the sun rising nearby. He was so effulgent, although just a young Brahmana boy. So Bali Maharaj just spontaneously offered, oh, such a beautiful Brahmana boy. What kind of charity would you like? Because Bali Maharaj, being a proper Kshatriya, was always prepared to give to the Brahmins. Bali Maharaj assured Lord Vamanadeva, never was there a time in my family line when anyone neglected giving charity to Brahmanas. Just think of my forefathers. Understand who my forefathers are. They've always given. So certainly I will give you. Ask me whatever you like. So what was Vamanadeva's reply? I'll just take three steps of land according to the measurement of my feet, my little steps. Now, Bali Maharaj, you obviously are an inexperienced Brahmin. You don't know how to ask for donations. I'm Bali. I can give you villages, beautiful Brahmana wives. I can give you elephants, jewels, gold. You're asking me just for three steps of land? Then Lord Vamanadeva solemnly replied, giving a big hint. One who is not satisfied with three steps of land will not be satisfied if he possesses the whole universe. In other words, watch it. You're about to lose the whole universe. Now for the second time, Bali Maharaj is citing his family tradition in response to the order by Sri Vrishaya that he prevaricates, that he fudges his promise to give the three steps of land. So Bali Maharaj, we discussed yesterday how he thought gravely about the situation, and then gave a brilliant answer to Shukracharya that, yes, I agree. The real religious principle is not inauspicious for your material life. Bhakti, in other words, is auspicious for everything. Because, as we discussed yesterday, Shukracharya's main argument was, if you give charity to this Brahmana, who's actually Vishnu, you lose everything and happen to be a proper grahasta. If you've got no will, you won't be able to perform dharma without wealth. Dharma depends on wealth, in other words. First get the wealth, then do the dharma. If you give away too much money, you can't perform dharma. You can't give me any donations. So, now, in today's verse, Bali Maharaj is citing his great family tradition. That is the advantage of having a good lineage. You don't see that today. How many of you in your Kaliyuga lifestyles would be able to say to someone, this is not the tradition of my family? First of all, in the Western world, family life is basically becoming extinct. So, you just don't think, my grandfather would never do anything like that. Of course not. Whatever your grandfather did, whatever your mother and father did, it's irrelevant. You just have to act in every situation according to how your senses are feeling at this moment. That's how you judge. No question of family tradition, no question of philosophical knowledge, no question of dharma. Just let's judge the situation according to how the senses feel now. And the whole Western world will support you. Yes, this is the advanced platform. Last time I was in India, you know how all over Mumbai they plaster the cinema advertisements everywhere. So they had the latest one they were advertising, you know, the cutting edge, capture the people's attention. So it was the film, I could tell just by looking at the posters, it was about kind of like a modern urban single woman who was making her way through the corporate world and making her way through various relationships. So the way they promoted the film had in big letters, she makes her own morality. This was the catch for the Indian public. Yeah. She's her own maker of morality. Come see this movie. This is where it's at. In other words, she doesn't adhere to any family tradition. She doesn't adhere to any dharma shastras. She fashions her own morality. This is the so-called Western honor, which is spreading throughout the world. You're an entity unto yourself, and you've got senses. Just do what you have to do to satisfy your senses. Everyone can understand that. However you feel at the moment, yes, this is justified. Yes, this is bona fide. No one will criticize you. Hey, you know, you just gotta do what you gotta do, you know. Just try to make your way through this world as best you can. You made a promise, but that was last week. This week is different. It's like Anirudha Prabhu was telling me how very soon his parents will be celebrating their 50th wedding anniversary. In terms of the Western standard, this is like a freak event these days. Of course, in India, it's still normal, but in the Western world, 50 years married to the same person? How primitive! I mean, just for the sake of variety and getting different perspectives, you should at least switch one time in your life. No, this is the way things are. Okay? There's no higher standard of judging things except how your senses feel. And what actually is that kind of life? That kind of life is animal life. The Bhagavatam describes that the animals are considered lower because they judge what is desirable and what is undesirable simply by the smell. Human beings use all their senses in that way. They take a reading from all their senses and then make a decision. So it's very important that we meditate on these words of Bali Maharaj. He's showing you what real human civilization is about. Shukracharya, I can't do what you say because look at my family line. How can I withdraw my promise because of greed? I've already said I'll give the land. I'm the grandson of Prahlad Maharaj. Now, more important than Prahlad Maharaj's being very moral and just from the ordinary point of view, more important than that is that he's a pure devotee of the Lord who gave Bali Maharaj Kripa Siddha, perfection by special mercy. It's probably right here. Bali Maharaj has already been blessed by his grandfather, Prahlad Maharaj. Therefore, he was a pure devotee, although born in a family of demons. But by the grace of Prahlad Maharaj, Bali Maharaj got the seed of devotional service, and then that seed developed in the association of Lord Brahma today. Therefore, the whole lila, the whole pastime is one of love. It's not that Bali Maharaj is feeling duress. Oh, I've got to give because I already said I would give. How to get out of this one? I can't get out of it. Therefore, regretfully, I'll give. Just think of my forefathers, how honorable and just they were. I can't deviate from the family line. I'll have to give. No, it was an act of love. But because he's talking to Sri Kracharya, he's not going to reveal the glories of praying. Sri Kracharya is a word juggler. He's a character of the material world. So therefore, Bali is replying in a way suitable for Sri Kracharya's mode of understanding. Bali Maharaj is replying on the platform of ordinary dharma. I already promised, look at my family, forefathers, how can I cheat a Brahmana? This is ordinary dharma. He's not saying Krishna is all attractive. Just like the Ganges flows to the sea, so my attraction for the Supreme Lord is flowing incessantly spontaneously. He's not saying that. It's up there at the Sri Kracharya. Sri Kracharya is Mr. Let's Make a Deal. Sri Kracharya is like a Vedic ritualistic mover and shaker. Yeah, we can make a deal here. A yucca here, some punya there, heavenly planets over here. That's Sri Kracharya. And as you know, his very name, his title, lets you know where he's at. Trupra Acharya. He's an Acharya by seminal qualification only. In other words, my father was a great Brahmana, ritualistic. Similarly, because I am his son, I'm also a great ritualistic Brahmana. That's where he's called, Shukra Acharya. He's so-called Acharya by seminal injection only, not by actual spiritual qualifications. So, Bali Maharaj is revealing to those who know that I have actually a bhakti tradition, more so than Pala Maharaj being my grandfather. I have a bhakti tradition because Pala Maharaj was a great devotee of the Lord, who even when offered material benedictions by Lord Nrisimhadev, wouldn't take them. And Pala Maharaj at that point clarified his presence in this world. He told Lord Nrisimhadev, I have been sent into this world to demonstrate the quality of devotional service. So please, don't tempt me. It's true, I appear in a family of demons. So I can't handle so much temptation due to the circumstances of my birth. I'm just begging you that may I always have your unmotivated devotional service. Pala Maharaj told Lord Nrisimhadev, you are eternally the master. I am eternally the servant. We have no other relationship than this. That is pure devotional service. That's Bali Maharaj's family tradition. So, in a kind of hidden way, he's making reference to that. The Prabhupada brings down the purport. But Sri Kracharya is just focusing on ordinary dharma. So Bali Maharaj is apparently replying in that way. Now in the purport, Prabhupada mentions other devotees who achieve kripa siddha, perfection, not so much from sadhana, but from the special mercy of Guru and Krishna. Once Prabhupada was on a morning walk and he explained what kripa siddha is like. He said it's like, and he just started pushing something in someone's abdomen. The guru just pushes in your chest. Take it. That's kripa siddha. So this is what Bali Maharaj had. This is what the Yajnapatni, the wives of the Brahmanas had. And also Shukadeva Goswami is described as kripa siddha. It's very interesting. Now you might say, well, if Krishna can give kripa siddha special mercy to them, what about me? Why do I have to follow sadhana? Getting up in the morning, walking along 50 kilometers to the temple. Why? Or taking that 5-hour drive to the temple a few hours a week, a few times a week. Why? Why can't we just get that mercy like Shukadeva Goswami, like the Yajna Bhakti, like Bali Maharaj? Well, having a chance to render sadhana bhakti, that is great mercy. We shouldn't overlook or underestimate the rare opportunity it is to be daily engaged in the Lord's devotional service. Whether we're living in the ashram or living in our homes, we have a great chance to offer regulated devotional service to the Lord. And you don't know when Krishna, when the Guru may give you that special mercy. Don't miscalculate. Well, I haven't gotten Kripa Siddha now, so I guess it's just going to be sadhana from here on in. No. Yasya prasada, Bhagavad prasada, Yasya prasada, Nagatita Tokri. By pleasing the disciplined succession, then Krishna's pleased. So, you don't know when that Kripa can descend. It can descend at any time in your devotional life. Krishna is not forced to follow some kind of schedule. Krishna is independent. A devotee should, in Nectar Devotion, it is stated that a devotee very nicely and with determination executes sadhana bhakti while always expecting the special mercy of the Lord. But you don't sit back and do nothing. Yeah, wait for the mercy. The common example given is sometimes universities give honorary degrees. But if you're going to school, you don't neglect your schoolwork hoping for the honorary degree. You know, you must do your work every day. And it may be that you get some special honorary distinction in the future. So that is how we should approach devotional service. Absorb ourselves in our sadhana and expect Krishna's special mercy. That is the healthy way to be Krishna conscious. Of course, we already have special mercy just by the fact that although we are denizens of Kali Yuga, we have a chance to perform devotional service. Ordinarily, that chance should not be ours, but because of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, we have that special chance. What about the Yajnapatni, the wives of the Brahman? They got a special chance, special mercy. Krishna arranged it all while playing with his cowherd boyfriends in the forest of Braj. The cowherd boys suddenly decided that they were hungry. So they called out, Rama Rama Mahabaho. Oh, mighty on Balaram. Rama Rama Mahabaho, Krishna Krishna, Dushtanirvana. Krishna, you are the destroyer of the wicked. Balaram, you are the mighty armed. We're feeling a bit hungry. In other words, you both can destroy so many demons with your strength, but certainly then you can deal with our hunger. Now, actually, were the boys petitioning Krishna with their own desires? No. They were thinking, Krishna must be hungry, but he's not saying so. Therefore, we'll present ourselves as being hungry so that Krishna will eat. That is real devotion. In Vrindavan, everything is 100% centered around Krishna's senses. So even apparently, the Vrijvasis are acting for their self-interest, as conventionally seen, but actually they're simply thinking of Krishna. So that was the case when the calendar boys called out, Rama Rama Mahalo. Krishna Krishna. So then, Krishna came up with a strategy. There's some brahmanas nearby performing a yajna. Go and ask them for the food. Ask in the name of Krishna and Balaram. maybe slightly favor the name of Balaram because they might think Balaram's of a higher caste than me. So the cowherd boys went. They approached the Brahmana, paid their full dandavat. Hey, Deva Bhumi, O earthly gods. It is a fact that because the Brahmanas, if they're bona fide, represent the will of the Supreme Lord, they can be referred to. Bhumi Deva, they can be referred to as earthly gods. So, they explain, we're coming from Krishna and Balaram. They're hungry, please give us some food. Don't worry, that's the wrong time of the yajna. If you do it right now, it won't spoil your sacrificial procedure. The boys were letting the Brahmanas know. We know a bit about yajnas. We're not just simple cowherd boys. We understand a little bit. After all, we're Krishna's boys. So, that's the confidence one gets when one represents the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The cowherd boys had complete confidence because they were on a mission sent by Krishna. Then they noticed, these Brahmanas are not saying anything, a bit hesitant. So they started getting a little sarcastic, as young boys will. Dharma Vittama. Well, supreme knowers of Dharma, I don't know what's happening here. Bit of hesitation here. Dharma Vittama. Actually, you know what is real Dharma. Bring out the food. Then they started getting even more sarcastic because they noticed still no response. They call them Dwija. But Dwija can mean not only twice born by birth from initiation. First birth is from the parents, second birth by initiation. So Brahman is called Dwija, twice born. It's like Lord Chaitanya's Dwija Mani, jewel of the twice born. Udila Avana Purababhaja. Dwija Mani Gola Avaninda. When the sun rises in the morning, the first rays of dawn spread, the jewel of the twice born gathers its sankirtan party and sings and dances throughout Navadvipa. So, but Dwija can also mean born of two. In other words, ordinary birth. Born of man and woman. Born of two. So the cowherd boys were more leaning on that definition of Dwija because the Brahmanas were not responding properly. The Brahmanas were not recognizing what is the conclusion of the Vedas. So the cowherd boys said, Dwija, twice born, no. Just born of two persons, nothing special. Everyone's born of two persons. Because you're not clicking on the fact that Krishna and Balaram want food. So the Brahmanas, as you know, did not answer them. They were just so busy in their ritualistic sacrifices. What were they thinking? This sacrifice is very important for us to go to the heavenly planets. Who are these cowherd boys to disturb us? They shouldn't disturb our focus. If we make a slight error in this yajna, we don't go to the heavenly planets. They didn't answer. Cowherd boys went back to Krishna with their sankirtan results. Very important to understand this during the marathon time. So they presented their results to the Lord, and they were a bit disappointed. We came back empty-handed. And Krishna responded, you shouldn't be upset. That is the way of begging. Sometimes people give, sometimes they don't. But one goes on with his duty in any case. So then Krishna said, let's try another sankirtan technique. Go to the wives of these Brahmanas. They are my devotees. Just tell them, Krishna and Balaram, they are needing food. Now, you might say, why didn't Krishna say that at first to go to the wives of the Brahmanas? But the Supreme Personality, Godhead, is very sensitive. He knew that he didn't want to unnecessarily disturb these ladies. He knew as soon as they hear he's hungry, they're going to drop everything. So therefore, Krishna was thinking, I'll try the men first. Yeah. Because as soon as these ladies get wind that I'm hungry, they'll just drop everything, race off. So we'll do it. We'll try plan A first, then we'll go to plan B. So now it's time for the cowherd boys to approach the wives of the Brahmins. So they approach them and mention Krishna and Balaram. They're nearby. They need food. Without hesitation, the Yajnapatnis gathered all the best food and ran off to where Krishna was. Where did they get this kind of spontaneous attitude from? This is Kripa Siddha, perfection by special mercy. They had always been thinking of Krishna's beauty. They had always been thinking of Krishna's pleasure. How is that? Because they had been associating with some of the cowherd girls in Vrindavan. They had been associating with some of the flower sellers who would go through Braj. And they had heard all about the beauty and glories of Krishna. So they were completely predisposed to Krishna just by hearing. Although they weren't associates at that point of Lord Krishna. This is their special mercy. So as soon as they heard from the cowherd boys, Krishna and Balaram are hungry, they ran to where Krishna was with all sorts of opulent foodstuffs. And then what did Krishna say? He told them in Sanskrit, the same first line of Sanskrit that he said to the gopis when they raced through the forest to be with him. Excuse me, no, reverse. He told them, go back, and they said the same first line that the gopis said when Krishna told them, no, how can you speak such cruel words to us? We are here to serve your senses. In this particular case, Krishna explained to the Yajnapatnis, you'll do better by going home and thinking of my form, hearing of my glories, worshipping me as a deity, than staying here in the forest with me. Your Krishna consciousness will be much better. The Lord gives different instructions to different devotees in terms of executing the general instruction of bhakti. So, for the gopis, at first the Lord said, go home, but then he relented. But in terms of the Yajnapatnis, he just said, go home. It doesn't look good, wise of brahmanas associating with a cowherd boy in the forest. So in this particular situation, the Lord sent the Yajnapatnis home. They were a bit worried. We've already rejected our husbands, our brothers, our family, and come out with food for you. They won't accept us back again. But Krishna assured them that I'll arrange, in other words, through my potency, I'll arrange that everything will be all right. You just go home. You're a Brahmana lady, I'm a cowherd boy. Krishna was, in this case, upholding the Varnashram Dharma system. So the Yajnapatnis did that. They already had the supreme perfection. When they raced to meet Krishna in the forest, just think of their first glimpse of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They saw the Lord strolling through the forest, decorated with flowers, forest minerals. He had one hand on the shoulder of a friend. With the other hand, he was twirling a lotus flower. They saw Krishna for the first time. And what did they do? They showed the perfection of Krishna meditation. They took the beauty of the Lord, the form of the Lord, through their eyes into their heart. They captured the form of the Lord, his beauty, Sundarupa, by forcing that form through their eyes into their heart. And there they kept Krishna tightly, showing you. Manmana bhava manmanto majasi mam namaskar. Always think of me.
Become my devotee.
So that is the Kripa Siddha of the Yajna Upanishads,
the wives of the Brahmanas.
When they came back, the wives came back, their husbands were lamenting, "Oh, what fools we were. We had a golden opportunity. We didn't understand that Krishna Balaram was the Supreme Personality of God. We were so caught up in trying to go to the heavenly planets. What fools are we?" And yet our wives, who have no Vedic knowledge, have no understanding of all the rituals, they got the Supreme Perfection. How foolish we are. How foolish. They claim Krishna acted in a deceptive way, hiding his glory. So therefore we did not know. Now, Krishna wasn't hiding his glory. He was very direct. But they deceived themselves because they were so covered by their material desires. Finally, they just concluded, to hell with our Vedic ritualistic knowledge. To hell with our yajna prowess. To hell with all that. We're going to surrender to our wives. This is real women's liberation. We're going to surrender to our wives. They're the guru. See, anything is possible if you're sick out, isn't it? They're going to instruct us. They've got Krishna's mercy. They got the Kripa Siddha. We're going to be their disciples. We're going to immediately go to Krishna now and surrender under the direction of our wives. They fought like that. But then, they weren't so staunch. So, after a while, they went, "Well, if we go to Braj to glorify Krishna, Kamsa may know about it, and he may harass us. Better not go." In this way, the Brahmanas showed how timid they were, whereas their wives showed how courageous they were in satisfying Krishna's senses. So, this is a glorious example of Kripa Siddha, the mercy, special mercy of the Lord descending. And Bali Maharaj is saying, "I've got that kind of mercy from Prahlad Maharaj. How can I deny the Supreme Personality of Godhead?"